Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Looking back in my life at the very tragic moments I've experienced, whether it was the death of my father or a scandal being in the church or the loss of someone dear to me, difficult situations in my life or infirmities in the life of loved ones, in that moment, all I can see is the cross, the scandal of death and suffering in the light of a God who is supposed to be all good and loving. But when I look back now, I can see how almost every time the Lord had brought me to a very close place with Him before that happened. My life of prayer was really flourishing. I was living a healthy, good life. Things were going really well just before that happened. Now, when it happens, we think God has betrayed me. God has misled me. God has lifted me up only to knock me down. We can feel resentful and angry. But when we look back, we realize God was preparing us for the cross by giving us a taste of future glory. That's exactly what happened in today's gospel. The apostles are literally walking down to Jerusalem. They'll be there in a matter of a few days. And in a matter of less than a week, Christ will be crucified and dead. And so on their way to Jerusalem, Jesus, knowing where he's going, knowing what is going to happen, and having told his apostles numerous times, though they did not understand, they did not ask any questions, and if anything, they argued about who would be more important when he's dead. He goes up this mountain, taking the three apostles closest to him, the same ones he had with him in the Garden of Olives, when he asked them to come and pray with him before his arrest, Peter, James, and John. And he takes them up on the mountain and allows them to see his future glory, resplendent in white, accompanied by the law and the prophets, Moses and Elijah, respectively, showing them that Jesus is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets, and showing them a glimpse of his future risen and ascended glory. He shows them this vision so they can carry it with them into Jerusalem and hold it close to their hearts as he slowly suffocates to death, drowning in the blood and water that filled his lungs on the cross, and holding that vision of his glory in the days of darkness after his death, before they see him risen from the dead. That transfiguration was meant to strengthen them, to give them something to carry through Jerusalem and the passion and death of their beloved Savior. They can remember, but I saw his glory, but he's dead on the cross, but I saw his glory, but he's been condemned by the people, but I saw his glory. He's been crowned with thorns and scourged and condemned by Pontius Pilate, but I saw his glory. He's been in the tomb 3 days, dead, but I saw his glory. They can always go back to that vision and remember and hold to it. You know, after the passing of my father, we're consumed naturally with people that we love that have died with grief. We think of all the things they're not there for. The first Christmas without them, the first Thanksgiving without them, their first birthday without them, your first days without a father. You've never known life without him. But what has carried me through all these years after his death is remembering back on the good times we had together. When my heart is overwhelmed with the grief of his loss, I think about the trips we made, the meals we had, the times I took him out of the house and we went to the park or to botanical gardens. I look back on those happy memories, and I, instead of being consumed with grief and sadness over the loss, all of a sudden begin to feel gratitude for having had him, for those memories, for being with him. He's still gone in this world. But the memories of those moments of glory, the laughter shared together, the meals, the events in my childhood, and even toward the end of his life with birthday parties and celebrations and retirements, all those things I can go back to, remembering those moments of glory in our lives, and feel grateful rather than completely at a loss. If you look back on your own lives of tragedy and loss, I bet if you pray with it and think about it, you'll realize that the weeks or days or months leading up to that tragedy in your life, they were moments of glory. You were healthier than you ever were, or happier than you ever were, or closer to that person than you ever were. God knew what was coming when we do not, and He prepares our hearts for that tragedy by giving us a taste of future glory in our lives or in the lives with others. We see Him transfigured in these experiences so that when the cross comes, not if, we can remember and be grateful even in the face of this great loss. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom should I fear? David prays. The Lord is my refuge. Your presence, O Lord, I seek. Hide not your face from me. He revealed his glorious face, transfigured to the apostles. He does the same to us in those blessings and moments in our lives that preceded tragedy and loss. This happened, but I remember these moments. I remember my life transfigured. I remember his glory, and I will press through this passion and death because I believe in his word and his promise. Abram did, without seeing the promised land, without having visited there, having left everything, family, home, land, livestock, he walks a poor man with nothing but God's promise in his pocket. And he goes to where he has never been before because he trusts and he believes. And because of his faith, God rewarded him with righteousness. He went blind, carried by the hand of God, to do his will rather than God's will, rather than his own. And this Lenten season, God is calling us to the same. We may not understand. We may prefer something else. But we ask, Lord, what is your will? And help me to find the courage to do it. The first step in doing that is really simple and obvious. If I'm not keeping his commandments, it doesn't matter what I'm doing. It doesn't matter if I'm a priest, the pope, a cardinal, or a bishop. If I'm not keeping his commandments, there's no hope for salvation. And so that's the first step. That's why every Lent or Easter, the church requires us to go to confession. How have I failed in keeping his commands? Because if I don't do that, I can't discern anything else. It's the most fundamental building block and foundation for a life in Christ. When I allow myself to be lost in the wages of sin, those memories are fleeting, and the reality of the cross becomes unbearable in our lives. This weekend, countless people are allegedly celebrating St. Patrick. I can assure you that St. Patrick in heaven is horrified at the drunkenness, the gluttony, and the vulgarity that fills the streets yesterday, the day before, and today. It's anything but glorifying the great saints who gave everything up for love of Christ and to forgive his enemies. They embody such people who engage in excessive drinking and gluttony and all types of vices. They embody the words of St. Paul today. For many, as I've often told you, now I tell you in tears, conduct themselves as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. And I love this line. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their minds are occupied with earthly things. But we live differently. Our citizenship is in heaven. And so we forego these fleeting pleasures for the greater joy and fulfillment of heaven. We go without meat on Fridays. We go hungry when we fast. We sacrifice good things that we enjoy these 40 days in imitation of Christ, who for 40 days went without food in the desert, so as to celebrate Easter anew in a renewed and more powerful way. We give up so that we're free to give more of our money, our time, and our things to those who have not. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. We believe what Christ says is true, but if we don't live it and keep his commands, do we really? Looking back on our lives, God gives us moments of transfiguration to carry us through the crosses that inevitably come. Can you see it? Can you remember it? Or does the cross loom too large and overwhelming? Ultimately, for Peter and the apostles, in spite of that vision of the transfiguration, Peter would deny him, James would abandon him, and only John would stand at the foot of the cross. They didn't all pass the test, if you will, but they persevered in the loss and came to know the glory of his resurrection and a life completely given over to him through martyrdom. We pray this Lenten season that we may follow in those footsteps. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief.